Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Business Radio X studio in Wilmington, North Carolina, and to the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Voice of Business show. I'm Connie Majorette, President and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber, and with me is Ann Petcher-Ravel with Business X Radio. Welcome, Ann.
Hey, Connie.
How are you?
I'm great. What
Good.
A beautiful day.
Good. It is beautiful. The focus of our show today will be New Hanover County's special use permit, in particularly the way it's currently written and the suggested revisions that the Chamber and other economic development groups in the region have suggested. I'm very pleased today to have with me a very knowledgeable guest, Hal Kitchen. Hal is the 2014 Chamber Cape Fear Future Chair. He was a 2013 Chamber Chair. He's a partner at McGuire Woods Law Firm in town, and he is married to the beautiful Mabel and father of two lovely young boys. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you, Connie. Glad to be here.
Hey, Hal, I have been for a long time trying to learn a little bit more about McGuire Woods. Before we go into the special use permit and some of the things that are happening in the chamber and the like, can you just tell us a little bit about your firm?
Yeah, sure. So McGuire Woods is actually a very large law firm. We've got a small local office, relatively small. We've got seven lawyers here in town. We do some litigation, business litigation, commercial litigation. That's what I do.
Mm, okay.
And two of my colleagues there. And then we've got four other lawyers who do real estate, corporate, and tax work.
Great. Excellent. And you're in how many cities then?
We are in, I think now we are in our 20th city.
Wow.
18 of those are in the U.S., also London and Brussels.
Wow.
So we have a lot of lawyers in a lot of places, a lot of people who know how to do a lot of
things. And mostly in the business end of the world.
Mostly in the business end of the world. That's correct.
Interesting. Well, that gives you certainly special insight into some of the things Connie wants to talk to you about today, I think.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about the special use permit, but before, let's talk about background, Hal. Why even be involved in this issue?
Sure. Well, let me start by sort of going back to the beginning of my chamber year when we did our, as we were leading up to our annual meeting at which I was installed as the chair, we were taking a hard look at some economic statistics to see sort of where we stood as a community. And something really jumped out at us, and I know you remember this. We realized, and this was in the fall of 2012, we realized that one way in which communities measure themselves on the issue of job growth is to look at year over year monthly job growth. And we realized when the roughly 375 metropolitan statistical areas around the country are compared to each other, we were in a category of 30 MSAs that for each and every month in the previous 2 years had year-over-year monthly job growth that was lower than both the state average and the U.S. average. That's not a good category to be in. And what it meant was other communities were growing jobs faster than our community. Not a situation we were used to seeing ourselves in, right? Because during the 90s and the last decade, we were used to having a very vibrant, growing economy, plenty of jobs for everyone, a lot of prosperity. And what we realized was as the rest of the country was coming out of the Great Recession, we were not. And that was a real eye-opener. Then we had our annual meeting speaker, Jay Gardner, come in, and Jay gave us some pretty eye-opening information about how outsiders would view us. Of course, we all live here, so we love Wilmington. We know how great it is. But one of the ways in which you compete against other communities is by trying to attract talent, trying to attract capital and investment. And so the perspective of outsiders is pretty important because those are the outsiders with the talent, the capital, and the investment dollars that you want to attract to your community. And basically what Jay told us is, you all are happy in Wilmington. That's great. That's very important. But you should not assume that everybody else in the world thinks Wilmington is the best place to be. You have some issues you need to address. So we've we've been setting about to address those.
Yeah. You get complacent when you're in a town that's as beautiful and wonderful as ours is, but we had little or no job growth.
That's right.
And that, can I just clarify?
Sure.
That was as of 2012, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that was as of late 2012.
I see. So have any new reports come out in 2013?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, since then we've been following this sort of year-over-year monthly job growth. And the good news is, since the end of 2012, we have been doing better. And what that means is, in many of the months since then, our growth has outpaced the national average. However, that's not true for all of our months. And, of course, having lagged behind for a complete two-year period, we've got a lot of room to grow. So we're hopefully getting back on the right track. But we still see that our growth, we think, is coming mostly from the construction and retail sectors. And these are very important sectors. Nobody should suggest that they're not. But they are largely driven by factors that are outside of our control, right? So especially construction has a lot to do with whether or not there's financing and capital markets. And so if that changes and construction slows down, we could be back to a situation where we're not adding the kind of jobs we need to add.
And if you look at not growing jobs quickly and factor in the companies that have closed, the layoffs that have happened, we have fewer jobs now than we had in 2008, and we're not close to catching up.
Yeah, that's a problem. Everybody, I think people can sense, even without looking at hard numbers, that some of our manufacturing base is not with us anymore. Certainly, we all know about the Cody plant in Pender County shut down several years ago. The DuPont plant, the old DuPont plant in Brunswick County, is shut down. Invista has downsized significantly. Even Corning has had some fairly significant downsizing. And so that industrial base and manufacturing base is continuing to shrink, and we have not hit some of the home runs we were hoping to hit with possible replacement facilities like Caterpillar or Continental Tire.
So that sets the groundwork for us. So let's move on to the special use permit, Hal. Tell people what a special use permit is.
Well, to provide folks with a little bit of context, let's talk about zoning generally. In the beginning, as they say, there was no zoning, right? And that was true in all communities. In New Hanover County, of course, I was not here at the time, but I'm told that in the 1960s, New Hanover County did not have a countywide zoning ordinance. And so what they did in the 1960s is they created zoning districts. So they took the county and they divided it up, and certain areas were put in the industrial zoning districts, certain areas were put in residential, and they created regulations that applied to each one of those districts. So if your land was in an industrial zoning district, there were certain regulations that applied to the use of your land. And as long as you were going to use your land consistent with those regulations, you were allowed to do that project on your property. Same with residential, same with commercial, etc. Now, on top of that, there was this thing called a special use permit. And the best example I can give as to the origin of special use permits is there are two examples that stand out. A daycare is an example of something that's typically done through a special use permit. Another example is a cell phone tower. So we need daycares and we need cell phone towers. And sometimes the place where we need a daycare is in a residential neighborhood, right? Because near a residential neighborhood, because that's where the kids live.
Right.
Likewise, although we'd all rather have cell phone towers, far away in the woods somewhere, none of our cell phones would work very well.
Exactly.
So we need to have cell phone towers sometimes that are closely located with these residential uses. So the concept of a special use permit, as it's traditionally been used, is you recognize that even though you might have a district which is a residential district, there are certain non-residential uses that society wants to be able to put there. And as long as the owner of that site, the developer of that site, is willing to follow some pretty strict rules, we'll make exceptions to the zoning ordinance. So that's how special use permits have traditionally been used. They're said to provide flexibility to the zoning ordinance to allow you to do something in a zone that you would otherwise not be able to do.
And who is it that grants the special use permit?
Typically, it is either the county commissioners or, of course, cities do this too. So in that case, it would be city council. Sometimes governments will delegate that responsibility down to a planning board or planning commission.
I see.
And in New Hanover County, the way it's done is the commissioners make the final decision, but the initial recommendation as to whether to grant the permit or not is made by the planning board.
I see.
The planning board hears it, then it goes up to the commissioners and they make the final decision.
So do all counties have special use permits?
Well, you know, not all counties have special use permits, but a lot of them do. And again, what you see typically with special use permits in a lot of these other communities are these sort of special use permits that are designed to accommodate a daycare or a cell phone tower or a convenience store on a corner in a residential neighborhood, that kind of thing. Ours is a little bit different than that, the new one.
I would assume that the ones that do then, are they in a more dense commercial area in general? Are those counties denser in terms of the amount of business activity?
Or? Yeah, yeah. You see that. You actually see them all over the place.
You do? Okay.
You do. There are, you know, and there are other examples of special use permit requirements. Adult entertainment would be an example, because there really aren't any, typically there aren't zoning districts that allow that sort of thing to just happen anywhere. So if you want to do one of those, you've got to go get permission from the decision makers to put it somewhere. And I think that's designed to be a legitimate roadblock.
Absolutely.
So you see it even in rural counties, you see these requirements, but again, they tend to apply not to somebody doing with their property what the zoning ordinance allows them to do. They're doing something that the zoning ordinance would not allow them to do, but the community is willing to make a special exception.
So when people come up to me and say, well, there are plenty of communities with special use permits that do fine, so why can't we be like that?
Yeah. Well, I think there are plenty of communities that do special use permits, but very few that do it the way that we've been doing it with respect to industrial land since 2011. And to put some context on that, what the county decided to do in 2011 was to add another kind of special use permit. And this one applies only to industrially zoned property. So there's property up on Holly Shelter Road that's industrially zoned, and also a lot of property on Highway 421 north of the river that's industrially zoned. And what the 2011 changes said was, even if, with respect to a broad range of industrial manufacturing uses, even if what you want to do with your industrially zoned land is completely consistent with the zoning ordinance that's been in place since 1968, we are still going to require that you get essentially special permission from the elected representatives before you can begin using your land for that purpose. So that's different. It's not like a cell phone tower or a daycare center where you're trying to do something with your land that is contrary to the zoning district. You're trying to do something that you've been allowed to do since 1968. But now there's this additional requirement where you have to go get 3 votes out of 5 on the county commission before you can move forward.
What was the impetus for that change?
Well, I think that if you ask the folks who were on the county commission at the time, they will basically talk about 2 different issues. First, and you know, I think foremost in a lot of people's minds, Titan Cement, just like it's still going on now, it was going on in 2011. The second issue, and this is not to be minimized in any way, but back in 2011, we were under the threat of what they call non-attainment. And non-attainment is a status that's sort of bestowed upon you by the EPA if your air quality is not meeting certain metrics. And in our case, the problem we were having was sulfur dioxide. We were on the cusp of getting into real trouble with the EPA because of our SO2 emissions in the county. And A lot of people, including the county commissioners at the time and county staff, put a lot of effort into trying to help us avoid non-attainment. It would have been a serious problem for the community, and in particular for the business community, because if you go on non-attainment status, the EPA has a lot of power in shutting down any further development. So that was a serious problem, and I think there are some who were on the commission at the time who would say this was the primary reason why they put this requirement in place.
So this was like 3 years ago, and we've seen improvement in our air quality?
Yeah, we have through, I think, a combination of the hard work of the commissioners at the time, the county staff, a lot of other people who were very interested in trying to resolve the issue, and frankly, just through some good luck that we've had as a community, we managed to convince the EPA that first, the way in which they were measuring our sulfur dioxide was not a really valid indicator of the overall air quality in the county. Their measuring station was very near a smokestack of a particular industry. And what we found was when the wind blew from a certain direction, our air quality statistics looked terrible. When the wind wasn't blowing from that direction, things looked great.
And prevailing winds, I assume, were not hurting. They were in our benefit, the prevailing winds.
Well, that's true. And also, that particular facility has since shut down.
Oh, okay.
So it's no longer emitting anything. Also, recently we saw that Duke Power has opened the new natural gas-fired Sutton plant,
yes.
Which is has allowed them to take the coal-fired Sutton plant offline. So that will, the emissions from, as I understand it, from the natural gas Sutton plant will be maybe 1 or 2% of what the coal-fired Sutton plant put out. So a combination of those things, I think the EPA saw that when these things happened, it was non-attainment was not going to be an issue for us. So I don't want to de-emphasize, though, the importance of the hard work that the commissioners and the county staff at the time put into trying to resolve this problem. But the good news is sulfur dioxide non-attainment is not going to be a problem for us going forward for the foreseeable future.
So when you're applying for a special use permit, these are kind of the rules you're going to have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
They are the things you're going to have to provide to show the impact you're going to have on a community.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the chamber and why were you particularly interested in getting involved in this issue?
Well, it's because we came to have a better understanding of the competitive realities out there. As a broad general statement, if somebody says, hey, in our community, we should have some supervisory role in what industry builds here and what doesn't. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, as a general statement, that's something that's hard to disagree with. However, what we began to learn, and this was from industrial recruiters, it was from site selectors, people outside of our community, is they began to make clear to us that because of the way in which our special use permit requirement is written, we have essentially taken ourselves out of the running for a lot of manufacturing, including advanced manufacturing facilities that we might have otherwise had a shot to obtain. And I guess to sort of flesh that out a bit, I'll give you an example. Let's say, first, we're lucky in Wilmington because we've got the world's largest fiber optic manufacturing plant.
I know,
here,
that's fabulous.
Right? It's something that not many people talk about, but if you live in Kansas City, Missouri, people will tell you fiber optic communications are the future of
Absolutely.
The world. And the biggest plant in the world that makes the stuff is right on College Road. Now, it's in the city of Wilmington, not in the county, so this stuff does not apply to Corning. But if Corning was going to look to build another plant, it would be probably hundreds of millions of dollars in investment. It would be great jobs, STEM-related manufacturing jobs. They pay great. It's clean industry. All these things would apply, and there would be a lot of communities who would want that plant to be built in
sure.
their town.
Right.
Okay. Corning would hire somebody to try to help them figure out where among these 1,000 communities that wanted them all over the world they should build their plant. So that person, in the trade called a site selector, would start looking at the various options. And as it's explained to us, these are not really site selectors. They are site deselectors.
Sure.
Because if you start with a list of 1,000 people, what you're trying to do is get people off the list, right? You're not trying to, you know, you're not selecting so much as deselecting. And what we've been told is one of the things that a site selector will look at when they're trying to cull their list down to a handful that they can then deliver to their client for further consideration is they will look for land use regulation that could keep the company from building the plant they want to build on that site.
Gotcha.
So they would specifically look for zoning ordinances like our special use permit. And if the sites in the New Hanover County they were considering required Corning to go get a special use permit before they could start their project, the site selector would say, you know what? There are 999 other communities in the United States who want this plant desperately and do not have this requirement. So I'm going to take you off the list before you even know that you're on the list. You don't get to make your case to me. You don't get to make a special plea. You don't get a chance to change your zoning ordinance because it's Corning and it'll be a great investment. You're just off the list. And that's not a good position to be in, because what it tells us is there are a lot of companies out there who we would like to bring here, who would provide good paying jobs, who would help us rebuild our manufacturing base. But there is something that we have done out of good intentions, you know, no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Out of all the best intentions, but we have done this in a way that has sent a message to the market out there that you don't want to come to New Hanover County because there is a big hoop that you have to jump through here that you would not have to jump through in most other communities.
So that brings up the Garner study. People have heard about that on the street. I've heard a lot of controversy about the Garner study calls for the special use permit to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, it's not really what's up for consideration right now. It's true that that Jay Garner said in the report the existence of the special use permit and the way it's written is an impediment to the increase in prosperity here in New Hanover County. But Jay said if you're not going to eliminate it, and there may be, you know, sort of social and political reasons why you're not going to eliminate it, then what you should try to do is try to mitigate against some of its most unintended consequences. And really, that's what we're trying to do with the changes that we've suggested to the county and which the county staff has now suggested to the planning board and the planning board has approved. So
what are those changes that you've brought
up? So basically, there were three primary problems with the way the current ordinance works. First, the way it's written, it's not clear which industries and manufacturing companies have to go through the process of getting a special use permit. It doesn't apply to all businesses, but it's not clear which ones it does apply to and it does not. Now, some are very clear. A cement plant, for example, just to pull one out of thin air.
so to speak.
Certainly, there's no question that under the current ordinance, they would have to get a special use permit. And that's not going to change, by the way. That's even if the commissioners approve what we've proposed, nothing about that changes. But there are less intensive industries who would look at our zoning ordinance and say, we're not sure whether it applies to us or not. The second thing that's not desirable currently and we need to fix is it's not clear from the current ordinance what materials or studies or information must be presented to the staff.
Okay.
So we've tried to – we suggested and the county staff realized that – changes need to be made there to tell applicants up front, here's what you need to submit. And the third part is the time that it takes. The current ordinance is not clear on how long it would take. Maybe it would take 3 months to get through the process. Maybe it would take a year. To business, that sort of time lapse is
huge.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, that's a risk.
So what we've tried to do is come up with some sort of compromise where we know that any special use permit will have, there'll be plenty of time for planning staff and for the public to get involved and get educated on the issue. But at a reasonable time interval, there will be a decision made by the planning board and the county commissioners.
So where we are right now, the planning board has approved the changes,
right,
with a few others, but basically the changes have been approved. So what happens next?
Well, what happens next is we understand that the proposal will be on the county commissioner's agenda to be voted on June 2nd at their regular board meeting. So what we need is we need the business community to come out and support these very reasonable, thoughtful, really modest changes to the special use permitting process. There are a lot of people out there, again, these are well-intentioned people, who I'm afraid think that these changes are something they're not really.
Absolutely.
This is not eliminating the special use permit requirement, although there are plenty of people who say we need to do that. This is not what we're doing here. They think that somehow this is going to make the process much easier for some industry like Titan, for example, and that's just not what we're trying to do.
It's clarifying the process. It's clarifying the rules.
That's right.
That's correct.
Is there a place where the business community can take a look at what the proposed changes are?
Sure. Yeah. Anybody who's interested can contact the chamber.
Excellent.
We'll certainly provide the current draft that's been approved by the planning board already. Any other information we can provide, we'll be happy to do that.
Super. So Hal's been in the media a lot about the special use permit, and it sounds like that's the chamber's focus. It's very, very important, but is that all the chamber's interested in these days?
Yeah, no, it's really not. You know, I have people come up to me and suggest that, gee, the only thing you guys are doing down at the Chamber of Commerce is this special use permit stuff, and and nothing could be farther from the truth. The fact of the matter is this is sort of a controversial issue, so this is the one you hear more about. But, look, the chamber is involved in a lot of efforts to try to move the community forward. We have a lot of involvement, especially through Cape Fear Future and quality of life issues. That includes what we would call quality of place, like parks and other amenities. I think last time Connie was here, there was a discussion about the chamber's role in trying to deal with the crime problem that we've got here in town. We're constantly working on improving the business climate. Cape Fear Future is very involved in education, including STEM education.
Good.
So there are just a lot of things that the chamber's doing. This is just the one that seems to make the newspapers more often than not.
Give us just a real high-level review, if you wouldn't mind, about Cape Fear Futures, what your objective is with it. Just real high-level, because some people might catch one of these shows and not all of them.
Yeah, so Cape Fear Future is a part of associated with the Chamber of Commerce, and it is a community development process. And we've raised some money, so we have some capital, and what we're focusing on is three pieces. There's quality of life, there is entrepreneurship, and then there is STEM education. So for STEM education, we're sponsoring a program at Trask Middle School, Project Lead the Way. We're paying for that. We're hoping that that'll be adopted system-wide.
And it's expanding. We just heard last week, I guess, that it's going to two other middle schools and an elementary school.
And what's in that program?
So it's a hands-on. Kids get involved in design and modeling and automation building robots.
That's fabulous.
And in fact, on the 21st, we're taking a group out to Trask to see the kids in action. We're finding that the kids are not, that you don't have to be the best kid to be in the class, but you have to apply and your parents have to support it. And we're finding things like kids with behavior problems that get in, their behavior problems are gone because if they don't behave, they can't go to their class.
Right.
So we've got one kid in particular that's kind of an actor-outer who has not missed a class yet. So we're really excited with the success of that.
Yeah. Super. And entrepreneurship is another focus of ours. And so our very generous contributors have earmarked over $100,000 of actual money.
Excellent.
Actual money to go towards the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship out at
UNCW.
That's so
fabulous.
That goes towards keeping the facilities up and, we got a director hired out there. They're making a lot of progress out there, and we're very proud to be part of that.
Excellent. Glad to hear that.
Chamber's really busy these days, and I'll tell you, one of the guys that puts in the most time is Hal Kitchen, and, you know, his chairmanship of the chamber ended in 2013, but he didn't stop working. He's working just as hard. In fact, I would be scared for him to tell me how many hours he's put in on special use permit, how many hours he's put on attending meetings on behalf of the chamber. It's been pretty terrific. Yeah, so thank you.
Don't tell my law firm.
Exactly.
They should be proud of you. But thank you so much. I really appreciate the time you spent. And I hope you'll join us on our next show on Thursday, June the 12th on Voice of Business. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.